Today we're going to continue on the series that we are kind of wrapping up. So sit, walk, stand. We're going through the book of Ephesians. I think this is our 15th week, so kind of plugging through it. It's a really powerful, amazing letter that was written from Paul to the church that he loved in Ephesus, and was so much in there. Just kind of as a overview, I know we've overviewed it a lot, but the beginning three chapters of Ephesians take a really amazing look at what Jesus Christ has done, what he has accomplished, and because of what he has accomplished, who those who believe in him are. Who are they? What is their position because of his life and his accomplishments? And then the second part, kind of these practical chapters, the how-to, the second section, we use the word walk, which is connected to just living a life that's worthy of who we are. If we are believers in Christ, what does that mean for our lives? How do we live in light of that? And then this last section is stand, and as we'll read again that section, it's talking about how do we stand against a really very real enemy that we have, a very real foe, the devil and his forces, and to look at that. So we're going to dig into that. And so as we're talking about the spiritual world, spiritual warfare, it is so far beyond my limited understanding. And yet, I feel like even just in the limited understanding I have, there's something so amazing and so valuable. And so it's interesting because in one sense, I feel almost inadequate to share. And then I also have way more to share than I can possibly share. And I want to point you all to something way bigger than my understanding. And so as we look at the spiritual world, there's so much there. And today we're going to look at the authority that we have, the authority because of Jesus Christ. And so why don't we pray, and we're going to jump into it. Thank you, God, for your amazing, abundant power, that you are God, almighty, above all things. I acknowledge you as the authority, as the supreme ruler, as the creator and instigator, as the one who knows all things, as the one who sees all things, who orchestrates all things, who has power over all things. God, I acknowledge my limitations, and I ask that you would go beyond those. I ask that you would open our eyes to see you more. I ask that you would connect with us. I ask that you would draw us into your strength and power, that we would live under your authority. What would you want to teach us, Lord? Speak to us. Give us open hearts. Open our eyes to see you more. In Jesus' name, amen. As we dig into this, the first thing, we've already kind of talked about this, Steve was talking about, we live in a material world. We live in this physical reality. But there is also a spiritual reality. There is a spiritual world all around us. And I think it's interesting, especially in our modern American culture, we have become very materialistic. And then not in the sense of just we like to have stuff, but materialistic in the sense that we see the natural as the extent of reality. And so even to bring in the spiritual element and to think about the unseen things can almost kind of go against the vein of our culture in some sense. And it's interesting, that's not necessarily a new thing. The Jews at the time around Jesus, there was different groups of Jewish people. Even though they all believed in the same God, Yahweh, there was different groups that had different beliefs. And one of those groups was the Sadducees. And they didn't believe in resurrection of life after death. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in spirits. And there was other groups like the Pharisees, and they believed in all of those. And I feel like there's kind of a flavor in our culture, kind of that Sadducee spirit, that Sadducee flavor of like, the only thing that's real is what we can see, taste, touch. The physical reality is all there is. There's no life after death. There's no angels. There's no spirits. And yet there is. And I think part of the reason we've lost touch with that, part of it is because we live such a fast-paced life. And to become connected to the spiritual, it takes a slowing down. It takes waiting. I think also we're so full of noise. We just fill our lives with noise. And there's something about learning about the spiritual requires silence. It requires seeing what is unseen. I think another reason we've lost sight of it is because we've become so rich. And in those riches, we think we have everything we need. And so we don't think we need anything else. And yet, there's a call that says, even though you're rich, you're naked and blind. That even though we think we know everything, we're blind. To see the unseen reality, the amazing thing as I understand it, the unseen spiritual reality is the eternal reality. The physical reality is temporary. The eternal reality is the reality that will always last. It is the greater reality. It is the reality that has authority over the physical reality. And yet, there's this disconnect. At one time, they were connected, and they still are. The physical and the spiritual are connected, but we live in a time where they've become more separated. And there's kind of, we can even compartmentalize our lives. There's the spiritual component. I go to church, and then the rest of the life, the rest of the week, it's all about material things and things that need done. And that connection is so important. I want to just kind of go through part of the narrative from the Bible to look at this. So God Almighty has existed outside of time. He has no beginning and no end. And God Almighty created all that exists. And God Almighty exists in a Trinity, in relationship within Himself. And God Himself created other spiritual beings. And I think when we think of angels, often we just think of people with wings. But if you read what the Bible describes angels as, there's some wild things. Creatures with eyes all over and multiple wings and wheels and these fantastic beings with power and authority. But God is the authority over all beings. After God created, I don't know the exact sequence, but there was a rebellion, and Lucifer, the most beautiful of all the angels, the most beautiful of his creation, rebelled. I can only imagine, but that flavor of, I don't want to be under your authority. I want to create my own authority. I want to have my own kingdom. And in that rebellion, a third left God and created this kingdom of darkness in rebellion against God Almighty. And there is a reality of a kingdom of darkness. And one of the important things that I've learned that I think is important to note is we don't live in the reality, as some philosophies have, where good and evil are equal. And there's this battle between good and evil, and they're both just as strong. That is not the reality. In existence, God is the ultimate authority. The kingdom of light has supreme authority, and he has granted permission. He gave his authority to the angels, and even those that are in rebellion are still under his authority. They have been given permission for a time, and that time is ticking, and their time will come to an end. But they have been given authority, but it's not an equal authority with God Almighty. And in that rebellious kingdom on the earth also, God created people. And there was this amazing connection between God and people where the physical and the spiritual were combined in a way that I can only dream of and will one day be restored and we will enjoy. But they were connected to God. They walked with God in an intimacy that it should have been. And Satan, Lucifer, the devil, however you want to call him, he came and deceived people. And Steve talked about, he put this deceptive thought into the minds of people. Is God really good? Wouldn't you like to be your own God? Wouldn't you like to have the same wisdom and power of God? And people fell for it. And people were given the authority on earth. They were given the authority to rule and have dominion of the earth by God. And they, in so many words, gave the keys of the kingdom to the evil one. And we joined the rebellion as a race. We joined the rebellion against God in a pursuit to have our own way, to be our own gods. And so, fast forward to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to restore, to reunite people back to God from the kingdom of darkness back into the kingdom of light where we were intended to be. And I want to highlight four parts of that. The first is the incarnation. The incarnation is a cool word that means Jesus as God, a spiritual being, took on human flesh. And Jesus entered into that human kingdom, into that kingdom of rebellion. He came in as a person, lived among us. The incarnation touches me, that God would enter into my world, into my darkness, into my rebellion. And from that place, he lived a beautiful life of bringing good, of bringing God's power, of bringing God's love and truth. And he was hated, and he was killed. And that death accomplished things beyond understanding. That death paid a price. That death bought us as a people from the lordship of the kingdom of darkness that we were under. It paid our ransom. It bought us back. That there is no longer a debt that is owed. There is no longer a stamp that says, from the evil one, they belong to me. It says, no, they've been paid, purchased, they've been bought. And so his death was a sacrifice for us that we might be set free. And then he was raised back to life. And when Jesus was raised back to life, the power of his resurrected life is now available to us. Not only are we set free, but we also have power from his resurrection. That same power of his resurrection is available to us to live in the kingdom of light. And then finally, his ascension. Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father. He ascended to be next to God the Father in all authority. Enough that if you read at the end of Matthew, he says, all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. So Jesus has reestablished authority. It's interesting because before that, when the devil came to Jesus and tempted him, he said, hey, if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you the kingdoms of the earth. He wasn't just making that up. Satan had the authority. It had been granted to him. It had been given over to him by us. He had authority, but Jesus has taken that authority back. The authority belongs to Jesus. So if we look at Ephesians back in chapter 1, Paul says, I pray that you may know his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead, the resurrection, and seated him at his right hand, the ascension, in the heavenly realms. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So Jesus has reestablished authority. He has the ultimate authority. And even as we look at that, so that authority is above all rule, all authority, all power and dominion. There still are spiritual strongholds all over. There are strongholds that have authority, but that authority is only within the realm that they've been granted, where they have permission. But there are spiritual powers all around of darkness that want to destroy. But the cool thing is that this is really highlighting, Jesus is authoritative above all of those. The devil is way stronger than me. If I went to battle, he would destroy me in an instant. But I am under a greater authority. Jesus has greater authority than any spiritual power of darkness. It's interesting here, we're going to talk more about the name. Above any name that is invoked, any name that can be called upon. And it's, we don't really use that word name in the same way. But before, if I said, I'm coming in the name of the King, that means, it means in the authority of. It's not just the word. It's not just, oh, that name. But that name represents the authority. The name of Jesus has authority more than any name of any other religion, any other power, any other philosophy, any other force in this universe. Okay, so in this series, we've also been going through a little book by Watchman Nee called Sit, Walk, Stand. I think we might have a couple more copies. I would encourage you all to read it. It's really short. It's also on YouTube. If you want the audio, you can just listen to it. But I really appreciate Watchman Nee as a believer who had much greater insight than me and who went far beyond my understanding. And the things that he passes on are so incredible. On page 55, I think it was, it says, "In him, in Jesus, therefore we stand. Thus today we do not fight for victory, we fight from victory. We do not fight in order to win, but because in Christ we have already won. Overcomers are those who rest in the victory already given to them by their God." Christ has got the victory. He has claimed victory. He is in authority. And it is only a matter of time before that is completely established. All right, so we're going to jump into this section of Ephesians. Today we're going to look at prayer, but I want to go back just a little bit. I know that was a long intro. I feel like there's just some really important pieces of that backdrop that I wanted to lay out. So if we start at Ephesians 6:10, we've already gone through this, but "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then today's section, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me. Paul, the mighty evangelist, is asking for prayer for him, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. All right, we're going to look at some of that prayer. How do we pray in light of the authority of Christ, in the light of the authority which allows us to stand? And so I just want to lay out two things. The first part is prayers to be under and enjoy his authority. The way to not be affected by darkness is to be in the light. Darkness has no power against light. And so the first thing, just the prayers that I'm talking about, are prayers just to be in the light, to be under that umbrella of God's authority. Because if I walk out past the authority of God into a place of someone else's authority, into my own authority, out from under his umbrella of light, I'm in a dangerous place. But so to pray that I might stay in the light, and the first of those is just a place of turning to God. In my life, many times, God has brought to mind places where I have turned away from God, where I have gone off, where I have dabbled, flirted with, entered into dark places. And God has often gently and often patiently called me back, come back. And there's been ways that I've had to deliberately do that. I know one time in college, I had recently come to Christ and put my faith in Christ. It was a beautiful time in my life. Some of my closest cousins are Mormon. I had a Book of Mormon that I was reading. I met some guys on campus that were Hare Krishna. They gave me a Bhagavad Gita. My stepmom is into kind of mysticism from India. I had a book of, he calls it knowledge, from her. I don't remember the other book, but I had a sense from God that I should get rid of those. And I remember taking those four books and going out of the dorms and going to the dumpster and dropping those off. I think for someone who's established in their faith, they could read those as a way to understand those, and I'm not. But for where I was, it was a place that would pull me away from Christ, away from the light of Christ. There's been many times when I have realized my ways of thinking were broken. There's been areas of pride and lust, and I've had some safe places in my life, people to just share those. I have a brother who's just really gracious, and I've called him on the phone and shared some of the ugliest thoughts I've ever had. And just said, hey man, I was thinking about this. I'm embarrassed of it. I know it's not from God. And I just want to bring it into the light, so that there's no power from the darkness there. To bring it into the light and let him pray for me and stay in the light. Because the kingdom of darkness is way stronger than me. But not when I'm under the authority of Christ. And I don't know if there's areas in your life that come to mind where you're like, yeah, there's some things I should turn from. They might not even be things that are especially evil, but they're just places where your heart has turned from God because of them. Things that have become more important than God, or pulled you away, distracted you from God. The second part of just being under the authority of God, as I was thinking about it, and Watchman Nee highlights this, is praising God. A couple stories that come to mind. I think it's amazing. In the Old Testament, the Jewish army is really tough. They're a really powerful army. If you look at their record, it's pretty phenomenal. And on more than one occasion, their strategy for battle is we're going to go to battle, and what we're going to do we're going to put in the very front lines, in the very front of the whole army, the band, the worshipers. And when we go, they're going to worship God, and they're going to praise God. And as the army goes, they're going to praise Almighty God. And the enemy is going to be routed and destroyed. I don't know any of you military guys if they suggested this strategy for the American Army, but the power of praise, and what I see that as that place of praise, it puts us underneath the authority of God. It puts us underneath God Almighty. And in my life, I have, on more than one occasion, times when I felt like maybe there was sickness in my family, kids that were sick and I was scared. There was things where it just felt like there was conflict and things weren't working out. And there's been late nights where just I feel stirred in the night to get up and just praise God. Just get up and just sing. God, you are amazing. And one of my favorite songs, which I feel like I don't know which psalm it's in, but it says, the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in you. I'm not going to sing it for you guys because I'll embarrass myself. But just to sing that and the fear, the oppression, is just like it cuts into my own fear. It cuts into my own small-sightedness. It just brings me to like, God, no good thing do you withhold from those who walk uprightly. You are a sun and a shield. And I think it actually has power against the darkness, not just to move me, but it has power against the darkness. I like how Watchman Nee says it. He says, because victory is his, therefore it's ours. If only we will not try to gain the victory, but simply to maintain it, then we shall see the enemy utterly routed. We must not ask the Lord to enable us to overcome the enemy, nor even look to him to overcome, but praise him, because he's already done so. He is victor. It is all a matter of faith in him. If we believe the Lord, we shall not pray so much, but rather we shall praise him more. The simpler and clearer our faith in him, the less we shall pray in such situations, and the more we shall praise. Wow. I even think it's cool in that section we read, it says prayer and petition. Offer prayers and petitions. I think petition means asking for needs. We're needy people. But there's another type of prayer that has nothing to do with asking God. It's prayer. And it's not petition. It's just being with God. And that power of praise. I had a friend, he was really struggling in his marriage. And the sense I had was, man, the devil was really messing with them. Yeah, there was some demonic stuff going on. That was my sense. Whether that's right or wrong, I don't know. But I encouraged him. Talking about what could he do in his marriage, I was like, why don't you walk around your house 7 times? Maybe do it at night when nobody's around. Walk around your house 7 times and just sing praises to God and just declare that this house belongs to Jesus. And the authority of Jesus is over this house. And you guys might think I'm wacky, but I feel like there was more power in that than trying to bring up a certain conversation with his wife. By the way, if you guys are new, some of you guys are like, man, this church is hardcore into spiritual warfare. We're really not, so this is like, But I think it's really important. I think there's something to it. The last one I just want to mention briefly, because time flies by, is letting go of lies. As we were looking at the ways that the enemy works, I don't know if you guys remembered some of those words, deceiving, lying, twisting, distorting. There is this thing of distorting. And one of the main areas that the evil one wants to distort what you believe is what you believe about yourself. And I would venture to say all of us have some distorted ways of thinking about ourselves that we picked up and we granted permission in our life. And some of those might be, I'm detestable, I'm stupid, I'm worthless, I'm only loved for what I do, I'm not good enough, I'm unlovable. These little things that in our weaker moments, we realize, oh yeah, I believe that. Oh yeah. And part of that power of prayer is to allow God to start recreating those messages. Allow him to speak the truth into those. And some of those things we believe are about God. He doesn't really like me. He's not really good. I can't really trust him. He could never forgive me. And to allow God to start speaking the truth. And we talked about the power of Scripture, the power of reading the Bible, and the power of just allowing God to say, okay, here's what I believe. I'm going to be honest. I'll let go of it. Do you want to say something about that? But it's hard. I realize one of the reasons I like my lies is because they give me excuses. And then I don't have to be powerful. It's just like, well, of course I didn't do that because, you know, I'm this and that. If I didn't have any excuses, what would God do with me? Do you realize the power God has put in us? Do you realize the power God has put in you to do amazing things? And those little lies and stuff, can kind of sift that down. I know I've given whole messages on that. I'm not going to dig into that a lot, but I just to throw that out there, and I would love to have conversations about that with you. The last thing, just to stay under God's authority, and then also we have authority in his name to do things. So the first part is make sure we stay under God's authority, and then the second is to wield his authority. I like how Watchman Nee laid out the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. And that power in his name, again, that's in his authority, is for salvation and the ensuing process of sanctification. So the name of Jesus is power to save us out of the kingdom of darkness back into the kingdom of light. When we call on his name, he frees us, he brings us into the kingdom of light, and then he continues that process of making us beings of light. That sanctification, that ongoing process. There's also power for spiritual warfare, for binding the enemy. It's amazing if you see how much Jesus was just like, he would attack these demonic powers. He would go against them. There's some verses on your paper just looking at some of the power in warfare against the enemy because of the name, the authority. And for me, I've learned if I'm praying against some power I sense in someone's life, against a spiritual stronghold, I never pray like, because I say so, or I'm going to beat you down. It's like, in the name of Jesus, in his authority, I command you, you do not have power here. Or in the name of Jesus, I pray for freedom, because he has authority. It's interesting. There's a story in the book of Acts, and there was some people who were not believers. There's seven of them, and they went around, and they were casting out demons in the name of Jesus. And they were just, to them, it was just like a magic spell almost, like, wow. And then these demons overpowered them and beat them up, and it says that they left beat up and naked. And someone said, if you're ever in a fight and you leave the fight without your pants, you lost. That's like one way to know. So they knew there was authority and power in the name of Jesus, but they weren't under his authority. The powers even said to them, well, we know about Jesus and we know about Paul, but who are you? And so first and foremost is stay under his authority, but then we have power in prayer to do spiritual things, to pray for protection, for the movement of God to grow, to go beyond. And Paul is saying, pray for me. Pray for me that I would speak boldly. And so I'm just going to close there. There's more that you could read there. I would love to have conversations about this. I said way too much and way too little at the same time. I would like to pray for you all that you would have boldness to speak what God has put in your life, to speak within your sphere of influence. Because God has made you powerful in your world, in your sphere. And so let's pray. Jesus, I acknowledge your authority, that you are above all things, that you are the true ruler. Thank you for taking back the keys to the kingdom, that we could belong to you. I love you. I want to stay with you, no matter how tempting other things are. God, I pray for each person here. I ask that you would give each and every person boldness to speak what you have given them to speak of your love, of your truth, of your goodness. I pray that you would teach us how to stay under your protection. I pray for protection for each and every person here. In the name of Jesus Christ, I ask that you would shield them from any scheme of the evil one to distort their thinking, to mess with their minds. I ask that you would protect them. Take us forward in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.